Want to thank the Lord that able to be here and how he works and moves in our lives and ministers to us. Today we're going to go into 1 Timothy chapter 6. Of course, I got to find where I'm at too. Chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's a little different for me, but we're going to go with it. Verse 7 through 12. 7 through 12. For we bringeth nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can't carry with anything out and have food and
raiment.
Let us be therewith content, but that they that will be rich fall into temptation and in snares and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown man in
destruction
and
perdition.
What a big words in here. For the love of money is the root of all evil. See, I know that one. With what some covetous after they that end from the air from the faith and
pierce
them
themselves
through with many sorrows. But thou old man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love,
patience,
meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hence
profess
a good profession. Therefore, many witnesses. Sometimes we lose focus on being a Christian, what our purpose is. It's easy to get sidetracked. Sometimes we start making, I gotta make money. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. I wish I'd have bunches of money. Boy, I wish as I had bunches of money so I'd never have to go into work ever again. But the problem with having so much money, God knows that I would not rely on God for my needs. I might start relying on that mighty dollar. The mighty dollar that says, in God we trust, it will turn to some of us in the dollar I trust. And we need to trust the Lord. And he said a key point in there that we brung nothing into the world. Riley, when you were born, you just came into the world. You had nothing. And when you leave, you will leave with nothing of things of this world. So all that we work for, the house, the vehicles, the things, all that money, the nice cars, the four-wheelers, the motorcycles, the all those things that we have, that we obtain, material possessions that we obtain. I'm not saying it's not okay to have those things. It's nice to have those things. But when you are done with your life, you can't take them where you're going with you. They're going to stay here and they're going to rot away. They're just going to remain here on this earth. Because there's only one thing that's going to go with you, and that's your soul. That's the only thing that's going to remain with you throughout your whole entire life. The day you were born with a soul. And that's the only thing that's going to go. Nothing else is going with you. Nothing that we work for. The nice little trinket toys we may have. None of that. But we get so focused on what I can obtain. What I can obtain. And we don't focus on the important parts of things where it said meekness. I gotta find that scripture again. Where it said meekness in there. And
verse 11.
In verse 11. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Those are the things that we need to be working for. Righteousness is not an easy thing. I work a job to work for money so I can live, right? Well, righteousness is something that you have to work at a little bit too, to a certain point. Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to abstain from that. Because it's going to hurt my walk with God. The godliness part of it, it's the same concept. You work at it. The meekness is not always easy to be meek. It's something that you have to work at. Some things in life we have to, that patience, we have to work at it because it doesn't naturally come to us. Just like the same thing, naturally money just don't come to us. We have to work for it. We wish it would, but we have to work for it. So we have to want these things. And we can't lose sight over what we're looking for. Because it's so easy, because there's so much going on in this world. There's too many things that we could do. It says that some towards the end times that there's going to be times to where there's going to be people who are going to leave. Well, that person, I'm just going to get up and leave this church because I don't agree with what you have to say. Because I like what they have to say better than what they have to say. Because they're what? Going after something that sounds good to their ears. Sounds really good to them. It makes them feel good.
Yeah.
But sometimes we have to be put in our place that what we are doing is wrong and have our toes stepped on. How many likes their toes stepped on or rubbed the wrong way? There's some people, sometimes they'll just rub me the wrong way. And I just don't like it. Sometimes the Word of God is going to rub you the wrong way because you don't like what it has to hear because you really want to go in that direction and the Word of God is saying, no, I can't go in that direction. And it just rubs you the wrong way. But all of a sudden you heard somebody that didn't break the Word of God down just right and it made it sound to what it sounded more towards what you were looking for and it sounds, oh, what you're doing is okay. So I'm all over here. They're tickling your ears because it sounded better whenever you're saying, no, the Bible says clearly that you can't do this or you shouldn't do this or it's not what God likes. It displeases Him. But then they find something in the Bible and they take it out of context and they make it sound like it sounds really good to you. So then you want to go over there because it sounds... Be careful. Because it's not always... We have this world and this teaching that's out there nowadays that if it feels good, do it. That's the world's way of doing things. That's not the way that the children of God should think of things. We need to think about what's the Bible say about it? Mm-hmm. Will that lead me to the path of destruction? Will that lead me to that path? Will I be falling out of righteousness? Will I be falling out of the grace of God? Will I be falling out of His mercies because of what I wanted to go to what I wanted to do? Not good. We lose sight. We go over to Matthew chapter 14. And this is about staying focused sometimes. This is about staying focused. Because we have to stay focused on things. Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 and 30 through 30. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water, and he goes to Jesus. But when he saw the wind
boisterous,
he was afraid, and bringeth beginning to sink, and he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." He lost focus. He was looking this way, he was looking that way. We have to stay focused on what God has intended for us. What is our purpose? What is God expect of us? If we're doing something, that's why it's nice to have the Holy Spirit around. He will let you know. He will quench you when you did something wrong. You might not know what it was, but I shouldn't have said that. You're like... And you know that you said, did something wrong. Or you acted the wrong way, and all of a sudden, it's just like a fiery dart that just hits you. Boom! And you're like, I really got to make things right with that brother, that sister, or that person that wasn't even saved. That wasn't a very good testimony of the love of Jesus. Because what we are as Christians, you know what we are? We are representatives of Jesus Christ. So when we do things that are not very Christ-like, we're not representing Christ very well. So we have to swallow our pride when we do wrong. And we have to say, I'm sorry, I should have never said that, or I shouldn't have acted that way. Yeah. It was wrong. I have to go back and say, hey, I wanted you to know. I'm sorry. I should not have done that. There's no because we want to do what? We want to justify. Well, I wasn't feeling well. Well, there is no reason why I should have said what I said, or I did what I did, or I was in a bad mood, or I felt this way because I had a lot going on. If you hurt somebody else and you know it, apologize.
Sure.
Make it right. Just tell them, I'm sorry. I there was no reason I should have done that. I just stuck out and I should not have done it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go back and apologize, because you can't take back what you just did, but you could try to make amends. And that's what Christ would have done. What did David do whenever he sinned against God? He went back and he repented. So we should repent to those ones who we done wrong to. If we knew that we said something off, we did something wrong and made them upset. Not saying that the Word of God sometimes makes you upset, not for those things, but just our man, our cardinal man rising up. But Peter was looking around, and everybody says, well, he had lack of faith. We could go that route, but we're not going to go that route. He started looking around at the situations around him. Because you also can look at it this way. I can be like Peter and I can sink. Because I'm hearing the things over here. And I lose focus on Jesus that's here. And I start wandering over here. And my soul will sink. Will not stay up. If I look over here, and Jesus is over there, and I'm looking at money and riches, maybe at eternal, at things that are not eternal, things that I can possess. Maybe it's this or it's that, and I'm looking every direction. But what I need to be looking for, my soul is going to sink like Peter was, because he took his eyes off of Jesus. Our soul has an eternal thing that lives forever. When we die, that's what's going to go somewhere else. That's the only thing that's coming with you. And we need to look out for that soul that God cares. God cares so much for that soul that he gave his only begotten son. That he knew that it was going to live for eternity. Eternity is a long time. We think when people live to be 90 and 100 and 180 and 200. And some people live to be 969 years old. You know, and on we can go. We think that that's old. But that's nothing compared to eternity, meaning ever, forever, thousands, millions of years. It just goes on forever. A soul lives forever. So wherever it goes, whether it goes to heaven or it goes down with the enemy of our soul, it's going to be there forever when we die. It's an eternity. It does not have a chance to go up or down. It's there forever. So we need to focus on the things that are outside of this world. The things that are eternal. Like heaven is a certain for something that is eternal. It's going to last forever. My garden, when I grow it, it only lasts for so long. I get a pet, it only lives for so long. Do I love it? Yes. But I'm going to love heaven, but I get to love it forever because it's going to last forever. Mm-hmm. So we have to ask for something eternal. We look one way, we look another way. There's so many things that sidetracked us. There's things that sidetracked us. Lusts of the flesh that will sidetrack us from the eternal things. Now, back in the olden days, back in the things, the Greeks, and they had this thing, it was called I had the name on top of my tongue. Sounds weird. But anyway, these things would sound, they would sing. Yeah, it's a tough one.
Seraphims.
They would sing these beautiful songs, and sailors would sail into. They lost focus. They knew that there was rocks there, but they'd become so dazed by what they were hearing. Their curiosity of the pretty voice drew them in. We need to be hearing the voice of the Lord. These things that were drawing them to the left or the right, that sailor needed to stay focused. But they would hear this pretty voice and they would get their curiosity or put them in like a trance or something. And all of a sudden, they were heading right straight for dangerous cliffs and jagged rocks, and everybody on the boat would perish because they lost focus. It was after the lust of their flesh, because I know the name of it, but those types of things, what they did is they fed off of your emotion.
Sirens.
There we go. A siren. What it would do is it would feed off of your emotion. And so you would go from what you wanted to be. So you heard what you thought you were hearing. Whenever they were singing, you were like, that's a pretty voice. And you're just like going straight into danger. Like a deer in headlights. You know what I mean? And it would be very bad. You know, and it would destroy you. You know, and it was whatever your lust of your flesh was, your mind would just go in that direction, and you would just be driven like a buck and ruck, kind of. But to your destruction it was heading. You know, that hunter, he's there hunting, and you're calling that doe call. That's what we kind of are to those buck. We're like a siren to them because they hear that and they think it's a doe, and they're coming into danger, and they don't even realize it. It's the same concept. And that's what the devil does, is he uses things like the siren to sidetrack us, to lure us over out of that zone where it's our safety is. And we get out of that safety zone, and we get over there where we shouldn't be, and we end up in destruction. And then what are we doing? Like we like Peter, when we realize that we're sinking. They were like, Lord, help me, save me, help me. We should not get to that point. We need to stay focused. We need to stay focused on the things that are eternal, the things that last forever. Let's not focus on the eddy-petty things that are going on around us. Let's focus on the eternal things. Witnessing to other people, letting them know about the love of Jesus. That is important. But here's another thing that we gotta go to is 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 7 is good enough. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. That's what God has given us. You have to have that sound mind to stay focused. So you know that sound mind's not going to listen to the sirens that are going off to the side and trying to tempt you to go this way or go that way and lead you to roads of destruction. Because you're a sound mind, you know. You say, no, I have power over that. I am not going that way. And over fear, because we can let fear control what we do too. The fear of what somebody might think about us because I serve Christ. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You have to understand when you're being attacked and you're afraid that somebody's going to attack you, they are not attacking you. They are attacking that which is within you. Mm. Don't take it personal. It's hard. But it's not you they are attacking. They are attacking the Lord Jesus Christ that lives within you. They are going after Him. That's why they don't like you sometimes. They are not attacking you. They attack your flesh because they're trying to get to that which is inside of you. But if you drop out and you lose sight of things, then it's just they're just attacking you. Now you cannot tell me that Lord Jesus Christ is not going to be with us when they're attacking us. When they're attacking us because we believe in them. And they're not attacking us, but they're attacking Him. He's not going to just, well, He just left me. No, He's still inside of you. They attacked Him. He's going to be there and see you through the whole way. It ain't always going to be easy. But we hold our feet. We hold our ground. And we just pray for them. I've had different various ones sometimes for no apparent reason. They'll just attack me. They don't like me. They don't know why they don't like me. Maybe it's because of what is inside of me that brings conviction to them. You see? And I could get afraid like, well, I'm not going to let anybody know about the little light that I have shining inside of me. I'm not going to let nobody know about Jesus Christ and the God, and I'm not going to live in the godly ways because people will know. I will be like Peter and say I don't know Him and swear three times. Is that very godly? That's not being a good representation of Jesus Christ. So He's going to be with us, but the point is we have to remain focused on our path to heaven. That we're walking every day, that we get up every morning, we get up every step that we take in this journey, we are working towards that thing that is eternal life. And we want to take as many people as we want with us because what? God loves everybody. And God wants everybody to come to heaven. And because God loves everybody and Jesus lives in me, then I should want everybody to come with me. Should I not? Everybody I love, if I was planning a grand feast, okay? If I was planning a grand feast, all the foods and the trimmings that everybody I know in the whole world that I know, possibly, I prepare everything for everyone to their likings. And I invite everybody. I want, everybody to come. I'm looking forward to all of them come. Whether I'm making a Dominican meal and I know somebody likes that. Or I'm making cabbage and somebody likes that. Strawberry rhubarb pie. Or you can name it. I'm preparing a great feast and I know of all the foods. I might not like it very well, including hot dogs. But I know that somebody really likes hot dogs and macaroni and cheese. I would make that for them. And I would invite everybody that I knew to come and have a buffet of food. I would want everybody to come. And you know what? When the day came and somebody didn't show up, I would be hurt if that person didn't show up. Why? Because out of love for that person that I care about, that I took the time to cook that lobster or cook that nice juicy Domenico steak or make potato salad or macaroni salad without onions. You know, I took the time to put the effort to make everything right, and then that person didn't show up. It would hurt. And it's the same thing for God, that God has prepared a heaven for us, and He wants all of us to come. Amen. And there's going to be people that are not going to make it there because they're choosing not to. Because either one, they did not hear, or two, they just choose not to walk that way. But as a Christian, it is our job to let them know about Jesus and be that testimony But how do we remain the testimony is we stay that course no matter what. We don't let fear dictate whether we turn to the left or the right. We don't let circumstances dictate whether we go this way or we go this way. We do not let money decide whether we're going to go this way or this way. When we know in your mind that Jesus is here, heaven is here, that is the thing that's eternal. When I die, that is where I'm going. But if I go this way and I go this way, I am going to err and I will not make heaven my home. Where this is all Jesus here, that is all that really matters to us. As a human being, that should be the only thing that matters to us. As long as I live on this earth, I understand I have to earn money because I have to eat. I have to have a roof over my head to keep the rain off of me. I understand that. But we don't need so much to where we have 5 houses, 6 cars, 10 four-wheelers, paved driveway, 10 lawnmowers, 20 cats, 30 dogs.
Oh my goodness.
Just because you want to have them, a horse. Just because, I don't ever ride a horse, but I went off and bought a $40,000 or $500,000 horse just because it's a good racehorse and it looked pretty. Because I had the money. Why did you buy it? Because I had the money. Yeah, I had the money. That don't make no sense, does it? Now, there's some people that are blessed. They have the money, but they will give to projects like we have going on down in the Dominican here soon. The new church that they want to be putting in. Hey, you have the money and you can do it. That's great. Those are eternal things that you're investing in. And that's what we have to stay focused on. That some of our money, we have to be investing it in the eternal things. Sustain our life that we have here. Live, eat, live, pay your bills. But when you have extra, you can give it to the eternal things of God that needs to have. I don't need to have 3 cars. You know, I can get by with 1 car. And I can take the money that I could have been able to buy those other 2 cars and help build a church or give it to the church so they can work on a project or something that's eternal, some project that will help other ones, a missionary that's out there that's talking about Jesus Christ to others, that hundreds of thousands of people could come to know Jesus Christ. So they're what? So they can stay that course to Jesus with us. Take as many as we can with us. Because I'm going to tell you, the enemy of our soul, he plans on taking as many as he can with him. So we should plan on taking as many as we can with us to heaven. But there's only one way in, is letting them know the good news that there is. But if we can't even hardly do it ourselves, it's harder for us to be an effective witness to those that we're trying. Well, I see you faltering to the left, you faltering in the light. Well, one day you're over here, you're talking about Jesus. Then the next day you're over here having these conversations like a siren over here. Not a real good testimony, is it? No. We can't be all over the place. We got to stay focused. And we got to keep our eyes focused towards the eternal things. And keep in mind, the important thing that we keep in mind is we can't take anything with us. Our soul is the only thing that's going. When we go meet our Heavenly Father, that's the only thing that's going up there. And I can't take money. I can't take gold. There's going to be so much gold up there anymore. So much more gold up there than there is on this earth than I can shake a stick at. I'll be walking on streets of gold is what it says. So, money means nothing up there.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not something I can even take with me. But that's just stay and take the course. Stay the course that we are traveling on. Make sure that we understand that when we're doing things, we check ourselves. That we check ourselves on that, am I staying the course? Am I looking after righteousness, or am I starting to go after the things of this world that are cardinal, that don't mean nothing, that they're material? Or am I going after things that God wants, that are godly attributes that God wants me to have, and that I will be able to help be a better witness to somebody and go to heaven and live a godly life? That's what we strive to do, because we are human. Human is to err. But we strive to please God. But we have to stay that course, and we cannot let fear and other things, because out of fear, we will do things that we will regret. Out of lust, we will do things that we will regret. Out of wants and needs and looking at what everybody else has, we will start losing focus, losing the focus. Like Peter lost focus on Jesus. Now remember you in Matthew that Jesus, he lost focus. He turned his eyes off of Jesus. We cannot turn our eyes off of Jesus.
Right.
It's where we have to stay focused on him. And all these other things will come to us. Well, I have to do this, I have to do this. No, when you are ready, God will work things out. All the years that I've been serving him, there's things that he works out in me slowly. There's some things that might have been in my life that weren't so good, but God works them out. What? Because he wants to make me better, cleaner. Characteristics that are not so pleasing. Maybe they're not so Christ-like, but we don't see them right away, but God will reveal them to us, and then we'll change those things all of a sudden. Sometimes some things are not all of a sudden like boom, bang, and done. And all of a sudden, God doesn't do that to us, but he purifies us slowly. He puts us through the fires and he purifies us slowly. So whenever we make it to heaven, he sees no spot. He sees no wrinkle. Because he's worked out everything that he needed to work out in your life. You made it. But the thing is sometimes through those fires, through those trials, through the temptations and through the what you call it, stuff like that, He'll be right with us. He'll be with us the whole entire time. And then when we get done, we have to stay focused. When we stay focused on him, we will make it to the other side. And he'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that's what it's all about. When our life is over, that's what we want to hear. "Thou good, faithful servant. You stayed the course. You didn't look back. You can't look back at your past like the pastor is saying. You can't look to the left. You can't look to the right. Stay the course. Don't turn your eyes off of Jesus. Jesus has all power. He gave us power over fear. He gives us power over a lot of things. We don't have. We just need to stay focused on him. Because we're a child of the king. We have power just as he does.
That's true.
Yeah, let's stand and sing that song. It goes right along with what he was sharing. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. There are battles to be won. There are victories that must come. I don't know how the words go. We'll know when we sing it. But keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Amen. If you're able to stand and make that the prayer of your heart this afternoon as we sing this. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. And this PA system's a little bit slow and fancy. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, keep me true. Is that the key? Oh, keep me true. Oh, that other one is probably better. Oh, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Oh, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Our victory. Power every hour, keep me true. Oh, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Oh, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true.